CD 4.
She came to kneel by the mattress, face and voice urgent.
What says Theodore then?
He says, here is a British army advancing against me. Here is a British officer riding by night with Ulaba Walk, half-sister of Queen Mastiat of Wallogala.
What can this mean?
Can it be that the English general is sending an envoy to enlist the aid of my enemies against me?
She broke off impatiently.
That much a child could guess, and Theodore is no child.
My first thought was, well, there's an end to my mission, thank God. My second was that Napier wouldn't think so. He'd never stand my crying off. Gala was too vital for that, whatever the risk, and giving up didn't even cross Ulaba's mind.
So now our journey will be doubly dangerous, says she. Theodore will have his watchers out for us from Gondar to the Ashangi Lake. God willing, they will be seeking an Englishman, not an Indian horse peddler.
They'll be looking for you too,
which is why I must teach you enough Amharic to act as our purchaser and bid good day to passers-by.
She looked me over.
Are you strong enough to start tomorrow before dawn?
I'm strong enough for more than that, says I, and caught her arm before she could stand up, drawing her down beside me. She didn't resist as I clasped her to me, revelling in the suppleness of her body, and when I clamped my mouth on her lips, they remained closed only for a long, teasing moment, suddenly opening avidly, her tongue thrusting against mine, her hands clasping fiercely behind my head. Trumpeter sound, thinks I, digging my claws into her buttocks and doing my level best to eat her, at which she suddenly writhed free with surprising strength and scrambled up, gasping, her mouth quivering and her eyes wide and wild. I was lunging up in pursuit, but she stayed me with her hand.
Wait, says she. First, there is something to be done, something you should see.
She went to the ladder stair and shouted down. A female voice replied, and after a moment a man's. She barked out a command, and presently there were disputatious voices raised below, sounds of ascension, and here came the princely chap who I realised must be the timely rescuer, Daoud, followed by a couple of strapping lads who, to my amazement, were bringing with them a damned disgruntled Yando. He let out a tirade of screaming abuse at the sight of Ulaba. One of his escorts hit him a smashing blow across the mouth, and the pair of them gripped him while another two sturdy minions appeared, and, at Daoud's instructions, brought out that hellish cage in which I'd been given the fresh air treatment, and which had been tactfully hidden away in the shadows since I'd vacated it. Yando squealed like a steam whistle at the sight of it, bloodshot eyes bugging and ape face contorted in panic, and I've seldom seen a sight more gratifying. As you know, I'm a cruel bastard, and if there's one thing I enjoy, it's seeing another cruel bastard get his cocoa. In this case, it was so damn poetic, too. My heart went out to Ulaba as she stood there, sneering, arms akimbo, and my one regret was that I couldn't understand the taunts with which she was encouraging Yando as they encased him. They had a devil of a job, for he was as strong as a bull, and for a reason which I didn't understand until later, they hadn't bound his hands. It took all four of them, and they had to beat him half senseless before they had him caged and the pin in place. Then they hung the cage on the hook and threw back the trap, and we all stood round, appreciating his screams for mercy. I knew that's what they were, because they sounded so like my own. On Ulaba's instructions, he had been placed in the cage face up, so we were treated to his interesting expressions as he was lowered slowly into the void, the men on the windlass stopping the process when he was only a bare yard below the floor level, not nearly as far down as I had been, but convenient for the spectators. The long chain to the securing pin was coiled on the floor, and Ulaba picked it up, holding it out for Yando to see, and smiling down at him. She gave it a gentle tug, moving the pin just a little, and addressed what sounded like a question to him, which had Daoud's followers in whoops. Daoud himself gave the ghost